Chapter 4, Lucky in Love. So as I coach mostly women, the topic of love and relationships, it comes up in many sessions in one way or another. Women who are single and looking, or those who have been hurt by love. Women in great relationships, some who want to lovingly transition out of theirs, all different. Some have had their hearts trampled by divorce, but they're starting to find their power for the first time. So as a woman who is officially the second most married woman in the world, does that make me an expert on love? No freaking way. Maybe of weddings. So yes, I've been married 87 times in a Guinness World Record attempt, but marriage is no guarantee of having a fabulous relationship. And I've had people tell me that I'm a lucky bitch to have found my amazing husband. Yes, I'm lucky to have found someone who has a complementary personality to mine, who allows me to be me, who supports me in all that I do, and is very often able to resist that crazy Virgo who lives inside me. But here's the thing, I consciously attracted him. I created my life like that. Why not? I come from a family of women unlucky in love. Divorce, infidelity, domestic violence, loveless marriages, but above all, an overriding message from a young age that all men are bastards. And I would listen to my mom, my grandma, my aunties. They would sit around and bitch about the men in their lives. And then they would turn to me and they'd say, "Don't you ever trust a man, Denise. Learn from our mistakes." But unfortunately, they never seemed to learn from their own mistakes, and they made them several times over, which confounded me even as a kid. I didn't understand why they were in relationships that made them so unhappy. But they had told me, "Never trust a man, Denise." And so I didn't, and I vowed never, ever would I trust a man. And so I was very unlucky in the love department. I nearly ended up with the wrong sort of man several times. But luckily, when I got an opportunity to move to London when I was 22, it's there that I met my husband, Mark. And you know what? Despite the 87 weddings, I wish I knew more about marriage, except I know that loving yourself is one of the secrets to finding a good man. And then you just need to try and relax. Before I met Mark, I had made a list of everything I wanted in a man. And it was a pretty small list, actually. Kind, funny, smart, and who lets me be independent. And on that list thing, my friend, business coach, Lenore Miller, she told me that she manifested her partner after she made a similar list, but she made one of over 200 qualities she wanted in a man. And he actually showed up very, very quickly and ticked off the majority of the characteristics on her list. Like, lucky bitch, right? So that is an action if you want to attract a man, if you're single, is to write down your manifesting list. Oh, this is a great story. So Lily came to one of my goal setting seminars and I was just blown away with how serious she was about finding a relationship. And I thought she was too serious. She was really stressing herself out over it. She was so invested in her lack of relationship that all the dream boarding and goal setting, it just was not going to make anything happen. So I set her very practical tasks each week to increase her chances of manifesting her perfect man. And luckily, she was open enough to do everything I told her, regardless of how nutbags it sounded. So she said, I had been a single girl for 7 years when I decided it was time to do something drastic. So I enlisted the help of Denise to turn my love life around. Denise helped me break down barriers and make dating fun. One of my little tasks was to send out 20 messages on an internet dating site. This was tough for me because I like to assess each profile closely. Denise said you had 1 minute to look at each profile and then you have to send 20 messages out to interesting guys in a week. I did it. I was terrified at first, but I started to feel more relaxed about the whole dating thing. Denise's great technique, where you make what you want to manifest into one of your passwords, as I mentioned before, it was great because it brings the idea into your consciousness daily. I made my Facebook profile password, "My Boyfriend." Each day I logged in and thought of myself as having a boyfriend. And I even changed my mum's name in my mobile phone to Grandma. I was contacted by a friend 5 weeks ago who had a single male friend she wanted me to meet. And I was more comfortable with dating now and ready for love. So I agreed to be set up. Since that meeting 1 month ago, we've spoken or seen each other nearly every day. I know it's only early days yet, but it feels really relaxed and easy. Time will tell if he's my lifelong soulmate. So update, guess what? Oh my God, this is cool. When I wrote this book, I went, update, they're engaged. But there's even a better update. So they got married almost 9 months to the day that Lily came to me and she sat down and she said, that's what I want, Denise. I want to get married by the end of the year. And she missed it by just a couple of months, but 9 months it took for that goal. And then now she's having a baby. So that's a beautiful, lovely update. But I wasn't surprised actually that even though during our time together, Lily was doing online dating, that was part of the weekly tasks that I set her, she actually found love in another way. And she'd actually already met him in some way years and years before, but putting herself in that space of being ready, going through the motions, it tells the universe that you're serious. And I know this because the exact same thing happened to me. So I was living in London at age 23 and I was sick of being single. So I set out to find love with a mission. 3 months of internet dating and I fell in love with my husband, Mark, the guy who I'd been friends with for 6 months. He was right there. We didn't meet online. I already knew him. I just wasn't in the right mindset to see him in that way. So remember, even if you're not single, all this stuff is the exact same technique I'm telling you for manifesting anything else in your life. You have to be so clear on what it is that you want and you have to take action for it and get in the right space for the universe to bring it to you. So I had a man at my seminar, and yes, they do come, even though they're rare, and he told me that he was looking to attract a girlfriend, but it wasn't happening. And this guy knew a lot about the law of attraction already. So he'd done the dream board, he'd done the affirmations, and he knew exactly what he wanted from a girlfriend. So I asked him, well, what's your bedroom like? And his face was just like, oh. So he sheepishly told me that his bedroom had all these high piles of books and papers all around the bedroom. And even though they were really neatly stacked, he said that he had to be careful walking around the room so he didn't upset these like towers of paper. So I said to him, how is she going to get in? And I saw the light go off. You know, one of those very first things I teach people is to declutter your life as much as possible, both physically and emotionally. He'd already done the emotional work. He just needed to make some physical and energetic space for a new lady to come in his life. Same thing if you, you know, sleep with a dog next to you. You have to make the space. You need to make room in every way possible. So one of my clients who was twice divorced, she was finally ready to attract a new man into her life. But when we looked at her calendar, there was literally no time for dates, let alone a relationship. And she also ran a retreat business out of her home. So there was just no privacy for a potential relationship. You know, if she had someone come over on a Friday night, it's her business space. So over a few weeks, she started to have to let go of some of those commitments she had made and set those energetic boundaries, including reducing the amount of workshops at her house on Friday nights and the weekend, which gave her some time and space around away from her business. And actions like that open that energetic space for a new relationship to enter your life. So where do you start? Here are some quick tips for you if you feel like you've been unlucky in finding love. And if you've already got love, then think of it in terms of another goal. So first tip I always say is to declutter your bedroom, especially your bedside drawers on the opposite side of your bed, and make room in your closets for your new man to put their stuff. Throw out any old underwear that you don't want your new boyfriend to see. Get a bikini wax or start getting laser hair removal as if you're going on a date. Getting your body ready and in that space, and then create room in your calendar, even if you have to spend a few nights by yourself. Don't tell yourself that you'll start taking care of you only when there's a special someone in your life. Start acting as if you're already loved, and the universe will soon take care of the missing partner. Now, you know what? A great relationship can really double your luck. And this is for people who are in a relationship. I completely appreciate how lucky I am to have a partner like Mark who is just so open-minded and just as committed to creating an amazing life as I am. Without his support and enthusiasm for winning the ultimate job, we may not have won. You know, my optimism might have been just enough to squeak us through, but with both of us aligned to the outcome, we were unbeatable. Together, we believe in our luck as a couple, and we continually affirm to each other how lucky we are to be so compatible. I'm so lucky is something constantly heard in our house, as well as things like, I'm so proud of you. We always talk about how lucky we are. And I have to admit, we're sometimes a bit insufferable as the Duffield Thomases, the lucky couple. But it also helps to have someone to talk to about things like that when things get rough. So yes, I am very, very positive, but I have periods of self-doubt too. And Mark can pull me back from falling into that pit of despair and self-pity by reminding me that I'm a smart, capable person and I'm simply awesome. So his belief in me expands my belief in myself. So if you're in a relationship, do you regularly talk about your goals and dreams together? Do you have a sense of what your partner is trying to achieve with their own life and their own goals and dreams? Do you support each other and reflect each other's highest possible potential? Now, you might not want your partner to take on the exact same personal development path as you, but it helps if they understand what you're doing and especially why you're doing it. After all, they are going to be around for the journey and they're going to reap the benefits of your success. However, I'm not a Pollyanna. I understand some partners can use a little nudge in the right direction. And some of your new luck mentality, it's going to rub off on them as well. But what if your partner is sabotaging you? Oh, I get this all the time. So it can be really hard trying to make a big lifestyle change if your partner isn't supportive and it feels like they're almost undermining your effort to improve your life. And I've heard a terrible example of a husband being so threatened by his wife's new business venture that he changed the internet password at their home so she couldn't work on her new business when he left the house. Seriously, what a dick. And it just made her more determined. And I have to say, which is great now, she has left him. But he just wasn't supportive. And his fear was that if she had her own life and succeeded by herself, she'd leave him. And she has. Of course, the fact that he was such a complete dickhead meant that the failure of their marriage was inevitable. Being unsupportive just made it die quicker. And her dream was bigger than that. It's almost a bit common, actually, to feel threatened when one half of the couple starts to change, maybe by becoming fitter and healthier or succeeding in an area of your life. So your husband or partner might have secret worries that you no longer find him attractive or good enough, or that some other man, will snatch you away from him. It's primitive. But if that happens, encouragement and praise works really, really well. And I hate to say it, but men are vain creatures and you can exploit that by offering compliments before he's even done anything. Start to make him feel good, fortunate and lucky just because he's with you. Unfortunately, nagging incessantly doesn't work. I've tried it doesn't work. But keeping positive and just to tell him he's already the man that you love. It could be like, hey, have you lost weight? Or well done for that new client you've got at work. Or you look great in that suit. Before you know it, he's preening in the mirror and feeling motivated because he knows you love him. And this definitely works because he'll start to see himself in a new light. And it's not going to take much convincing that he's a stud muffin, even if it's on the inside, like way, way inside. So don't tell Mark that I told you this, but he was really, really overweight when we met. My friends didn't get it at all about our relationship because he was this chubby kid at university and I was this sophisticated 23-year-old working in London. And I never mentioned anything to Mark about his weight. I only told him how handsome and sexy he was. I introduced him to healthy food that made us both feel good. But within 6 months, he was a completely changed man. He lost all of the weight and his personality shifted as well. He didn't have to play the chubby, cheeky guy. He could be happy in himself, and I supported him either way. So you kind of have to be the example in your relationship. If you are constantly moaning and complaining about life, then you're hardly the best advert yourself for a lucky life. It's a huge transformation on one hand, but then on the other hand, it's not that big a deal. You don't have to drastically change your lifestyle to harness your luck. You can still be the same person. Just a lighter, happier, and more successful version of yourself. And what a lucky guy he is to have you. But you have to make yourself happy. if all else fails and he doesn't seem to support your journey into the superstar you are and you want to be, then please don't let that stop you. This is for your own personal happiness, and nobody should derail that for you. So don't let your partner's negative or indifferent attitude make you feel like you're not worth it. How to deal with the breakups. So what happens when the fairy tale ends? Many people feel like such a failure after divorce, as if their luck has run out for good. However, your growth cannot be held back by somebody else. So in some cases, you have to find the courage to bless the experience and just let it go. So one of my readers, Leah Groot, she wrote to me about this and she said, I knew I was leaving my husband, but we were committed to a job overseas for a few months and I was struggling with everything. One day I asked for help from the universe and immediately my wedding ring started burning my finger. This had never happened before. I took it off and straight away I realized the emotional significance of this physical act and I was a lot calmer from then on. My friend Sarah has just gone through the biggest transformation over the last couple of years, and she learned that loving herself was more important than staying in her relationship as well, even though nothing was actually wrong. You know, like Leah, she just knew she was leaving her husband. So I asked her to share a little bit of her journey because it's really powerful and it might help you if you are struggling in your relationship as well. So I asked her about, she seemed to have a really great marriage, but shortly after her 10-year anniversary, it was just over. And what made her decide to leave? So she says, I had the big fairy tale wedding, and that's exactly what it was, not real. I knew on my wedding day that I was marrying for safety and security. My husband was the first man I had met who had a job and wasn't on drugs, and he was a decent man. I met him at 21 and married at 23. Of course, there were times over the years where I felt like I was in love with him and we had great times, but there was always that voice of doubt telling me I was living half a life. And it came as a shock to so many people when we split up because I had felt too guilty to tell anyone how I really felt. My family was constantly telling me how lucky I was to have a husband, and I essentially felt invisible. I used to hide my body and not want to be noticed. I hid behind him a lot as an excuse not to face the world. So now I'm an actress, so I'm very good at pretending everything is okay. I could use my voice on stage, but I was too afraid in the real world. I went to America one summer to do a film acting course, and it totally changed my life. I was on my own in a new country with nobody to hide behind, and I discovered that people liked me for me, and that I had a big voice with lots to say. I was a woman, not just a wife. Essentially, over the next 6 months, my husband and I grew further apart as I began to embrace who I really was. He said to me that if I was to stay with him, I would have to change back to who I was before. I knew then that no matter what pain was to come, it was too painful to stay in a relationship that had become too small for both of us. Life post-divorce at first was horrible. I left my comfortable two-bedroom home, having the financial security within my marriage, and I moved to a friend's tiny spare room on the other side of London. I started a job I hated the day after I left my husband, but I had to do something to start supporting myself fully. I was in such a mess. I think having to get up every day and go to work was the only thing that kept me going. I used to wear dark glasses on the train and for 6 months so I could cry every day. I spent the next year running around dating ridiculous men because I couldn't bear to be alone. I think those initial 6 months were the hardest of my life. I remember standing on a side of a train track in London in the freezing cold, having no money, no husband, no home, and thinking I could never recover. Yet, in that moment, that quiet, calm voice inside me told me everything would be okay and the storm would clear, and I was getting to see how strong I actually was. When my divorce settlement eventually came through, I did more living in 18 months than I had done for 35 years. I went to Rio to learn to surf and hang glide. I wrote and produced 2 short films, did stand-up comedy in Hollywood, joined a writing class, and I was awarded the most original work of the term. I learnt tango and samba while being taught entirely in Portuguese. I learnt the trapeze. I travelled to New York and LA, and I danced every week. I fell in love and I lost love. I had money and I lost money. However, throughout my heartbreak and every new experience, I finally realized what life is. I learned compassion and I was finally alive. As I write this to you, Denise, it's nearly 2 years to the day that my husband and I separated. And of course, there are moments that are tough, but I always live from my heart now and I've never looked back. Unfortunately, my family pretty much stopped talking to me when my marriage fell apart. They totally blamed me and I had put my husband on a pedestal. My husband actually told me that if I left, I would never cope and I would be homeless. My mother had even told him to throw me out on the streets to teach me a lesson. But I felt like when I was married, they had lost sight of me. And I truly believe they'd come to love my husband more than me. Of course, it wasn't the case, but it took 6 months of me standing on my own two feet and coping without them for them to see I was actually serious and it wasn't just a phase. I had some really tough talks with my father and eventually, even though he doesn't fully understand how I could be happy without a husband, he accepts it. My mother and I eventually reconciled and now I'm closer than ever to my family. I've had to forgive them for not being there when I needed them. But at the same time, that period in my life taught me a lot about myself. I'd always been the good girl in my family. I had married like the good girl, whereas underneath I had slowly been falling apart. I just hadn't told anyone. All of my female friends were amazing. They never judged and always listened, even in my most crazy moments. My husband and I had our own friends, so it didn't even affect my social circle. And I had the most wonderful and creative women in my life come forward and help, and really, they have become family to me. So I wanted to ask about her photos now, because that's what she does as well as acting, and they're just so unbelievably beautiful. And I was curious because when I knew her in her marriage, she never took photos, so I wanted to ask about it. And she said, I had no idea. I'm looking at photographs on my desk now thinking, did I really take that? Last year, I had this intuitive nudge to get a camera and it just kept on coming up. So I ordered one that was basic but felt good to use. It arrived and just lay on its side for a month and I thought, well, that was a waste of money. My intuition was clearly off. However, when I got to Los Angeles in February, I just started taking pictures and I haven't stopped. In my marriage, I always let my husband take the pictures and I just assumed I was no good at it. Now I'm learning the technical side so my pictures can match my vision. I'm discovering to learn that I am a visual artist. I'm nurturing this talent and I know that it's linked to my acting and writing. I don't know where this journey is going, but I'm enjoying it very much. And it feels like yet another part of me has opened up and I can see what I couldn't before. I think I'm less scared of expressing myself in this way as I feel that there's less at risk. I expect as I progress, more fears will come up, but right now I feel like a child who gets to play and make beautiful art. So I included that story because I hear this a lot, that women start to make huge changes in their life and the man in their life just doesn't keep up with it. So no matter what happens, gorgeous, whether you're looking for a man or you're in a relationship and you want to make it better or you're in a relationship that's not working, whatever your path is, you can let it go if you want, even if nothing's wrong, or you can make it even better. But really, you deserve love. If love wasn't such an important part of being human, why is every single song about it? Every song, think about it. Why are we always talking about it, finding it, losing it, renewing it, maintaining it, watching it in movies, everything? So take time to forgive and forget the past so you can move on and break old patterns. Rip up those old love letters, throw away that manky sweater you're still holding on to of the ex-boyfriend, and let go of the fears you have about opening up your heart. And the biggest secret I know to have an audaciously awesome relationship is to realize that you deserve it. You deserve to be lucky in love. You deserve awesome sex and a partner who supports you and contributes to your well-being. And if you are in a relationship, think about how you can take it to the next level. What direction are you traveling in together? Get another person to believe in you and you'll be amazed at what you can create together. And I actually run a course. If you are single and want to attract a soulmate, go to luckybitchsoulmate.com or go to the luckybitchbonus.com and I'll include a little bonus for all my single gals. But here's the reflection for this chapter. Declutter old relationship hurts. Decide what you want and how you want your relationship to be. Know that you deserve the very, very best. Have courage to move on if necessary. Share your goals and dreams with your loved ones, but decide that you can be lucky in love.